Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And we're here with Jeanette.
Hi.
Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
G'day.
Lisa. Mackenzie.
Hi.
Cassandra.
Hey.
And I'm Justin. And today we're watching Kimba the White Lion.
This is Lion King, isn't it? We're watching Lion King.
Yeah. No, it's Kimba the White Lion.
It's Lion King? Is that
Lion King? Oh, okay, it's Lion King from the 1950s then.
Okay, yes.
Lion King!
So this is, of course, the original manga series from Japan.
Anime.
Manga!
Manga.
Firstly, it's manga, and secondly, it's anime. Yeah.
Manga is the comic.
Anime.
Yeah.
Is it the comic from the 50s, or...?
I think 50s, 60s. It's very old.
Yes, it's from 1950 to 1954.
Are you referring to the manga or referring to the series?
Oh, okay. The series was broadcast from 65 to 67.
There you go.
And the manga was 1950 to 1954.
And I watched it on ABC when I was young.
Right. So this is something you are familiar with.
I am familiar with
it. In nostalgic form.
Right. Yes. Yeah, kind of nostalgic. Yeah. But Jeanette, you wanted this, didn't you?
No, Baylor's.
This is my one.
Oh, this is your
Baylor's.
One.
So Jeanette, tell us about Kimba, apparently, because you wanted this.
What is Kimba?
I don't know anything. That's Baylor's.
Baylor's just being difficult.
Yeah.
Baylor's never difficult.
It's about Lion King.
Yes. Mackenzie, it's 100% about Lion King. No, it's very early anime.
Okay.
Basically,
it's
like your classic. I mean, I remember very little of it, honestly. I just remember loving it as a kid. Mm-hmm. I was introduced to it by, I think it was the same person that got, no, it was introduced to me by my godfather, Moose. There you go. Yeah, when I lived in Sydney. I remember this now.
Oh.
He loved the show so much and got me to watch it, and I really enjoyed it too. But yeah, it's basically animals doing animal stuff.
Like
I said, I don't have enough memory of this.
Yeah.
So it's just like one of those series that you watched so long ago that's like a blob that's empire part of
your
childhood.
Well, I watched it before I watched Lion King.
Oh, okay.
So I hate Lion King.
Oh.
It's just not worth the hype that everyone seems to think it is.
What, Lion King or
Lion
Kimba?
King. Yeah. Kimba's great.
I've never watched Lion King or Kimba, so this will be
Well, I haven't watched Kimba, but I've watched Lion King. Yeah. But yeah, I saw Lion King at cinema, and I don't get the hype.
I haven't seen either, but when I was a kid, I saw the beginning, probably the opening sequence of Kimba, and I really, really wanted to watch it, but my brother, who's 4 years older than me, insisted on turning over and watching F Troop, and I still remember how sad I was watching F Troop.
Yeah.
I was so sad.
I was probably watching F Troop when it came out.
Yeah. I don't know what F Troop is. It's something that has not survived the generation.
For good reason.
Pile or something?
It's kind of. F Troop was basically Palisade in mid America, cowboys and Indians.
Yeah.
But there were soldiers stationed there.
Okay.
And interacting with the Indians and
interacting is that the euphemism we're using here?
It was all good.
I've got to whitewash history.
So they're all friendly. Yeah. Everybody's friendly.
I've got the rundown of Kimba the White Lion.
Go for it.
So in Africa during the mid 20th century, as mankind encroaches, the White Lion Panja. Caesar, in the English dub, gives the jungle's wild animals a safe haven. However, he angers nearby villagers by stealing their cattle, their food, to feed the jungle carnivores. In the English dub, he merely frees the cattle.
American TV trying to pretend that animation isn't violent.
Yeah.
A professional hunter, Ham Egg, Viper Snakely in the English dub.
Wow, why would they change that name?
I don't know. Is Ham Egg just not spooky enough for you? Is called in to stop these raids. He avoids directly attacking Panja. Instead...
Are you just spoiling the...
Instead, he records the sound of Panja and uses them to trap his pregnant mate.
This is plot of the episodes. This is the synopsis.
This isn't the plot of the one that I want to watch, though, today.
Oh,
basically, yeah, that's your general
rundown. Which one are we watching?
Yeah. tell you afterwards.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Okay, we actually have two choices. We've got the first episode. It's all on YouTube, so we can watch any episode.
Yeah, but
I was thinking either the first episode or the one that everybody thinks is the best.
Considering I'm the one that's bringing this, we're going to go with episode. Too Many Elephants.
Too Many Elephants, right.
Is what I've chosen.
Right, that's probably why I have it.
Yeah, yeah, that would be.
So that's not the first episode then? Is that the first? Was Too Many Elephants?
No, that's episode 25.
Yeah, right. I know it's going against my normal
it's
setup
going
thing.
So against your normal rule of
but I Googled episode. This one, and I remember nothing of it, and so we might as well watch what they classify as the best episode.
Mm. Yep, happy with that.
Yeah. Mm. Has anyone else watched it?
No.
I've got the Weevil Song Kenya stuff.
We'll let you off
and
this
I
time.
I can't get it out right now.
So. Kenya.
Where can you see lions? Only in Kenya. Go to Kenya.
I can just remember that
lions.
Thing in your head.
Kenya, yeah. Everyone's having these big conversations and I'm sitting here quiet going, Kenya, where the drops are.
You're playing, what is it, Time Guesser or Time Spotter or something the other night with Patrick, and one of the photos was from Kenya. We got it.
Is that the one on the net where they show you a picture from Google Images?
Yes.
Like, oh, I used to be so addicted to that.
And you've got to guess the year and whereabouts in the world it was taken.
The year?
It's really fun.
I think I used to GeoGuesser, which was just the location.
GeoGuesser. Yeah, GeoGuesser is great if you do like the video games and stuff, because Angus and I were doing Skyrim. It's a lot.
Oh, so it's GeoGuesser, but for their maps.
Yeah.
And also because I'm guessing you would have an intimate knowledge of every, or not every environment, but enough that you can.
I know Riften like it's the back of my hand. Angus knows everywhere else. We were looking at something. Angus was just picking them all, and then I'm like, "That's Riften. I know where that is."
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. Anyway, what are we expecting from Kimber? Is anyone expecting anything specifically
I'm guessing it's either going to be so sickly cute that it'll be hard to understand, or it'll just be the same thing that sort of happened when we watched Astro Boy that time, where it is surprisingly deep and thoughtful and...
Isn't it done by the same people?
Off of memory, it is surprisingly deep and thoughtful, because I was saying that I liked watching Simpsons and stuff like that to Moose. And Moose was like, this is better than The Simpsons. This is better than any cartoon you will ever see.
Sure. Uh-huh. Yeah.
This was like a 30-year-old man at the time as well. He was just like, this is good. And this guy was very progressive back in the 90s. Progressive, sorry.
I think saying progressive for the 90s isn't much, but that's going to be just...
For him, it actually was, though, because, I mean, we grew up in Sydney. So being progressive in Sydney in the 90s really meant... Nada, I guess you're right in that sense, but like...
So I did just look it up because I had an inkling, but Osamu Tezuka was the creator of Astro Boy and Kimba the White Lion.
Oh, cool. Right. So the same things.
So I feel like there would be a lot of... And Astro Boy would touch on like environmentalism protecting...
Which I'm pretty sure is what this episode touches on quite heavily. If I remember the synopsis correctly, vaguely, it was like very heavy in the we need to protect our Earth.
Mm. He was very renowned as well for, like we talked about with the Astro Boy episode, it was very much deep themes and important moral and ethical statements and things like, and not dumbing that type of stuff down. Mm. So, now knowing that, I'm assuming it's going to, I wonder how thick it will lay it on, but let's see.
Okay, so I guess we'll get on and have a look at Kimbo and see what people think.
Forget Norway. Kenya. Oh, Kenya. Kimbo.
Okay, so we've just finished watching Kimber the White Lion.
Yeah.
What do you think, Cassandra?
It was interesting. I think it could... I feel like it could have been done slightly better because... I mean, so... I feel like I need, like, 5 minutes to phrase my thoughts, but basically it felt as though the conclusion was rushed enough that it didn't feel earned. It felt like it was going to be a bit more morally grey and just having the end be like, oh, hey, not all the elephants were killed. Yay. It was a bit of a weird ending.
It was a bit of a Forks happy ending in some ways, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it just felt really off. Like, at the very least, if it was possible for them to not have all the elephants killed, it would have been nice, or have it be a bit more... Like, having it actually be rather... Maybe the elephant actually refusing Kimber's message for reasons other than arrogance and pride and just going willingly to death, but being... killed without any sort of response felt a bit heartless. It definitely, you can see a lot of the ways in which it's not necessarily influenced a lot of anime, but I can definitely, having watched a lot of anime, I can recognise, oh, this is where they use animation. This is the bit where the really bad English dubbers do the really bad English dub. Yeah. And doesn't feel like it's from the 60s. It definitely feels like it could have been made at any time. It definitely doesn't. If you said it was from the 60s, I wouldn't believe you. I would probably say, no, it definitely feels like it could have been made at any time between from like the 60s to the 90s. Mm. And the only thing would have been, animation got a bit better after it moved to widescreen, but it's not really dated at all.
But it'd be like the demographic would just change, wouldn't it? You know what, in the 60s this would have been prime time, but in today's era, same show would have come out, but it'd be on ABC Kids instead.
I mean, consider
the fact of when it came out, though, as well.
67.
Compare this to all of the kids' show that were out and about at the time. This was genuinely better. There were definitely a lot of parts where it could have pulled up and been better and all that. But, I mean, considering the time that it was out in.
And also
compared to other shows we would watch on ABC 3 when she was younger, it absolutely holds up today compared to...
And also, I'm just comparing it to all the horrible 70s animations from the US that were basically just designed to be like dangling kids' keys in front of a kid's face.
It's not brain rot. It was definitely trying to be something.
No, I mean like Hanna-Barbera stuff.
I Hanna-Barbera, like Scooby-Doo, for example.
Even like Hanna-Barbera to an extent, but there was also those kind of Hanna-Barbera knockoffs. I'm trying to think if there was some certain ones that came out and it was like, I know, even you as a kid, there were brain rot.
There was brain rot, but things like Scooby-Doo was not brain rot. That was still more intelligent than what most shows were at the time, and I think that's where this rises above. But it's nice, but it doesn't hold up now, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Hey, Mackenzie, what age group do you think this was aimed at? Who would have they aimed this at? Kids younger than yourself, or...?
Maybe, like, kids younger to older.
Yeah? Right, so... Okay. And did it seem fairly deep to you? Like, it had a good message and things like that, or...? Not sure?
Yeah, not sure.
To me, it felt like it was aimed at a certain demographic, like, of kids, but was... The thinking level was higher than you would normally expect from that group. Do you reckon that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and what did you think of it? Did you enjoy it? Or?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it does seem to be quite, as you say, timeless, except that the quality of the footage that we have is not as good as...
Points where it felt like, certain lines where it sounded like people doing the English dub had no idea what the Japanese was meant to
be. And then again, I also have seen a lot of Japanese shows dubbed into English that have done the same thing.
Yeah.
So it definitely... I feel like
this is a good example of awful dub. Japanese to English, awful dub.
Because I'm used to it so much, it's like, oh, that bit's timeless as well, because you had that terrible dubbing all the way up until the 90s, when you started actually get serious about that sort of thing.
Lisa, what do you think?
Yeah, look, I think it was something for its time. I didn't completely dislike it, but it was quite easy to check out of.
Yeah.
One thing I did think was... You know, you had the anime-style animation of the animals. Some of them felt like... Kimba kind of looked like a lion that had been drawn by someone who didn't know what a lion looked like. And there was a bit of that with some of the animals, and I kind of went, I'm pretty sure that animal does not move that way. But did you guys check out the backdrops?
Yes, the backdrops.
Beautiful. Like, even at that end, the sky with the clouds. And even just when they were showing those expansive kind of...
Terrain.
What is it like? The tundra? I don't know where Africa is.
Tundra's the wrong word.
Savannah. Beautiful African savannah, and they really captured the beauty of that, which was really good.
Although, also this perspective drawing was really nice as well. So when they had to draw buildings and whatnot, it was actually like done properly.
Yeah.
With the clear understanding of perspective, whereas you look at things like Daria and the Angry Beavers and things like that, it's always just slightly off. This was crisp and perfect. If you looked at the line work of the blinds and stuff, it was just...
immaculately drawn.
And it did feel like there were certain people behind the scenes of the making of Kimba that knew the assignment, and some that kind of just ticked and flicked and plonked out for the day. And I think, the dubbing, I think, would have been one of would be interested in watching, comparing it to the original Japanese with subtitles. But I think there's certain things in it, like the background animation and things like that, just beautiful, really stunning.
I think it's indicative of a lot of old school anime with the beautiful painterly style backgrounds and stuff. Like, this is what I love about Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, shows like that, is that they're so heavily detailed with the anime over the top, like the animated people and stuff. And I think that's what I like about Kimba, is that it still has that kind of charm to it. It's definitely a style that is of its time, because you don't get that much style when it comes to anime anymore. If you look at Spy X Family, it's crisp, it's well drawn, it's not painterly. It's not a work of art in the background. Like, I think the only stuff that kind of fits into that would be Studio Ghibli, where they have that beautiful painterly style. And although Kimba was very basic in a lot of its backgrounds, it was
But it's also still nice. One of the things I feel is a indicative of anime is they go through the work of having background scenes, and then to cancel that out, as it were, is they'd have sprawling shots where there's no animation whatsoever, so they can actually put their effort into this bit, even though there's some scenes where you can tell they animated like 6 frames a second. They did it that way so that you can, so that can put more effort into these gorgeous scenes.
Interesting.
They didn't have a lot of repeating shots.
They had a lot of repeating shots. I'm fine with that, because I know they had to do it that way to save money here, so they can have good looks and backgrounds and stuff.
I don't know what studio it is, but there's a studio in America, in California, that basically does a very similar thing. Very early on, Kimba was like, oh no! And he just got that one stationary image. And I find that very lazy when it comes to animation. So, I mean, in that sense, could be better.
Yeah.
The story itself, I mean, like with Lisa, it was easier to check out. I think I dozed off a couple of times. But then again, I'm very tired, so.
I'm
a very busy person at the moment.
And don't joke about that, because that's, you are.
But yeah, I remember it being better than what it was, I think.
I think there's also, you've probably seen some, well, not better, but you've seen the breadth of episodes, and you were a kid at the time, so you probably have a rosier view of that.
I think the best part of being a kid in the 90s was wearing rose-tinted glasses was expected. It wasn't an option. And so the red flags and the not great animation, things like that, didn't stand out anywhere near as much. Whereas looking at it now with an adult's brain, if I have that, I don't know though. It's good. I'm not going to sit down and go back to it though. Like, as something that I brought, it's mid.
It's nice, and if they, like, there's some bits of the story that were a bit mid, but like, if it was the 60s, I watch a whole of that.
I mean, if they could redo it, this is the thing. There's so much stuff that we get. If they redo it, I would watch the heck out of it.
Absolutely.
It would be interesting how they would do it.
I completely disagree. It was just a bunch of animals messing around. Like, that's, there's so many shows like that in similar environments. There's nothing unique about this story whatsoever.
And also, I'm also worried that if they do it, they'll make it even more thumbs down, because
If they did it as anime though, because like, watching through the anime that I get on Crunchyroll and stuff, it's always adults, my life as a slime, just all sorts of human people. I think the most crazy we get are cat girls and dragon maids and stuff like that. We don't get the four-legged furry friends going, let's try and protect stuff. We get the 5-year-old child that's now solving murder mysteries for his dad because his dad is terrible at doing that.
Okay, you're referencing Detective Conan. Detective Conan has been around for centuries.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
in so much anime nowadays, it's very much the kids run it. Mm. In Spy X Family, Anya is running the show in that. We love Lloyd. We love Yor. But it is very kid-driven, and it's always young protagonists save day. And I would like to see something more like this, I think, in anime, because I feel like it would be an interesting take, as opposed to, I've gone to high school and now I need to go and save the world, or I've gone to high school and I've got these secret superpowers. And I'm not ragging on that at all. I'm just saying, this would be a nice shake-up.
Yeah,
I don't know whether I don't know enough.
Formulae.
Yeah.
Yes,
anime's become formulae.
I don't know enough about anime to say how this would hold up if they rebooted it, but I've seen so many iterations of this when she was a toddler.
Yeah, sure, but that's things like Paw Patrol and that pterodactyl thing and stuff, right?
So they're not necessarily. I'm trying to think. There was a show that was similar to this, but it was a lot more. It was less anime style animation, more crudely drawn Fisher Price looking animation, but it was animals in the jungle solving problems and learning about sharing.
Anime is not a genre; it's a format. Mm-hmm. It's a medium.
Yeah.
This is just a medium. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's made in Japan or if it's made in Western Europe. Style,
honestly.
It's a visual style, but that's just, it's a format you use to tell a story.
I think
the stories have been told 100 times over. Visual styles have
developed in Japan that are quite distinct.
I would definitely argue that a little bit, because I would say that I wouldn't call Disney animation anime.
No, that is animation style. But the storytelling has the same.
The
story's not.
The genres, animes have genres. Like, you've got thriller anime, you've got all these different genres of anime.
I feel like it's more of an artistic style, if anything.
Yeah, but that's a format. That's the sort of thing you tell a story. Like, it's with art, it's the difference between a painterly style and.
Okay, I would like to see something in an anime style / format.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Instead of a kid's show of brain rot like Paw Patrol, no offense to anyone.
I'm not talking about Paw Patrol. Yeah. Paw Patrol is not on ABC Kids, and it's popular. Not what I'm talking about. No. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There are so many shows like this.
Like shows that are more like a poor man's Bluey than a poor man's Paw Patrol. So, yeah.
A poor man's Bluey.
That's
funny.
So, like, the caliber of stuff on ABC Kids is it ABC? Yeah, ABC Kids is different to the caliber of stuff that Paw Patrols
this
Nickelodeon stuff.
This sort of thing was around when even I was growing up, and it was really mediocre.
Yeah.
It was not something I watched then. Even if they remade it, I legitimately would not give it a second thought.
What's that?
This to me was just.
I'd give it another go. I think. Nah. But if it was redone and a bit more snazzy. Take it you didn't like it?
I mean, it was okay, but it is what it was, which is just kind of mediocre anime from the 60s. And even the message was, don't be prideful. That was it. That was the message.
Yeah.
It was not even about greed, it was just about pride. And the biggest repeated shot I can think of was when he kept on getting tossed into the lake.
Yeah.
That was a metaphor for him not making any progress with the elephants and constantly being sent back to square one and just not making any progress until he's exhausted and passes out. Mm. That's a metaphor. That's.
Which you kind of go, oh, that's a great metaphor because he's not giving up, but then sometimes you've got to know when to quit.
Yeah, that's the thing. And
yeah.
I did like that it was elephants being hostile, though.
I also like that the main character didn't just go in and solve all the problems, and it was all. It wasn't really a happy ending.
It wasn't a happy ending at all.
But it wasn't a happy ending. It's an interesting thing. So that was very interesting. Mm. I thought that the elephants did die, and he couldn't save them. He fails. So the main character actually fails in this.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
And it's interesting because I guess from our point of view, it was like, you know, the elephants are being prideful, they're being dicks, whatever. But then also, I guess, from the reserve's point of view, the other animals were coming to the lions going, there is no food for us to eat.
Yes.
You're taking all of the leaves off the trees and not letting anyone get access to the ones where there are leaves. So really, I guess, this was an authorised culling.
There was moral complexity in the episode. It wasn't a straightforward, simple moral message.
Yeah.
It was quite complex.
But they didn't.
The elephants did bring it on themselves by being greedy, and the rest of the animals were suffering. But at the same time, nobody sought a better solution
That'd have been pretty easy. Yep. We'll just
so what but there would was no be the better solution?
That. There was, I think, involvement in that at all. No, there was just kind of the very basic setup for it. The animals are okay with it, and they omitted any emotional depth or discussion on the subject.
Yeah. I think if I had written it, firstly, I'd been worse because I'm a bad writer, but I probably would have a scene somewhat where I'd try to negotiate with the elephants and try to work out a way to solve the problem reasonably, because, if they're intelligent enough from the perspective of the other animals, it's like, why can't we... negotiate, why can't they collaborate together to force
clearly there was an animal school being run and they could have dragged them into there and set them all down.
It's super wild as well that clearly the humans could understand Kimba and the other animals. Clearly that is the case. It's like, why are the lions the ones to mediate everything?
Why can't you negotiate with
jungle lions?
King of the jungle, but they're in captivity.
But the elephants aren't listening to that king. It's not king of the elephants. They're not taking it on.
So they're not taking it through management appropriately, I think.
Management has said, look, you guys are being the worst. If you don't sort yourselves out, we're going to have to cull a lot of you. They would have listened to that more than they would have listened to Kimba.
A lack of communication, really, which is
Which is really all when it comes to conflict.
So this is the theme, the message here, management should consult.
With management. Management needs better way to deal with issue.
Okay, so there was a 1966 film called Jungle Emperor. And it keeps on going. There was a 1989 series. There was a 1997 film.
Things made based on this.
Yes, things made a 2009 TV film. 2019 did a dub of the film.
So people say this is The Lion King's based on this. How?
Before we get to that, Jeanette,
did Jeanette get missed?
Yes, Jeanette got missed.
Sorry.
So, Jeanette, you've been waiting for how many years to watch this?
Too many
years.
Over 50, let's
say. Okay, tell us your story about it.
I think I would have loved it when I was 4, when I wanted to watch it. My brother wouldn't let me.
So was it worth the wait? This is the question.
I'm glad I finally got to see what I missed out on. I think I would have loved it when I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
I found it interesting that it seems to me that they're finding their way in terms of anime design style. So this has got a lot of Hollywood style with the human figures are very sort of American animation style. So I feel that the Japanese animation industry at this stage hasn't really found its own footing. Mm. It's getting there with the beautiful backgrounds and everything, but they're not fully there.
Japanese uncle did look like a World War II American propaganda poster on a Japanese person.
Yes. It felt that stylistically it was very early days for the anime industry. But definitely, a four-year-old me would have loved it. It was interesting to watch. I wouldn't watch more.
Okay. So, Angus, you were saying...
Yes, what was I saying?
You were saying about...
The similarities.
What are the similarities besides the main character is a lion and has a similar sounding name?
This is the AI overview of it.
Give us the AI overview.
Yeah. Does it have three hands?
So the similarities between the two is a central plot about a young lion cub who is destined to rule, loses his father to a villainous uncle, is exiled and eventually returns to reclaim his rightful place, often with the help of a wise mentor and animal companions, including a bird and a baboon-like character. Both stories also feature a villainous lion with a dark mane and hyenas as henchmen, leading to accusations of plagiarism due to the striking character and plot similarities.
So it just wasn't in this episode.
It just wasn't in this episode, Yes, Kenzie?
Did you say about, the uncle killing... That's
The Lion King. That is the Lion King.
And originally they changed the name from Simba to Kimba because they thought it was too generic, because Simba is of course the Swahili name for lion.
And that's why in Lion King they call it Simba. But when they made Kimba, they chose not to do that.
Yeah, and apparently Matthew Broderick, when he started the project, thought that he was doing Kimba the White Lion.
Oh, Because he does the voice of Simba.
Oh, he does the voice of Simba, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know. A little bit damning.
But the stage play on its own apparently is amazing to watch.
Mm. Oh, yes, there's a stage play.
Of The Lion King? Of The Lion King, yeah. So I will say that while it follows I imagine it follows the same plot as The Lion King, it's factually just better to watch live because the songs are incredible. They go with a full, I believe, a full African choir. And they go with that style of song keeping as traditional as possible, which is amazing, along with the costume.
In our house at the moment, we've been listening to the song of the prequel.
Scar Mufasa.
Because Kenzie thinks it's hilarious that you're not impressed by the work that they did with the animation and the new movie, but you've not watched it. You've only just mocked the music, the video clips on YouTube.
That's fair.
This is the child I'm creating. She's just cynical and mocking.
It's the word that she wasn't allowed to use for the longest time. Hate.
I know, right? I know.
Now she's allowed to say it. We hate watch everything. Come on.
When she was really young, I said she couldn't use the word hate because people who hate have hate in their hearts. And now she's like, absolutely.
No, it's because hate is a strong word.
Yeah,
hate is strong. You say dislike.
That's it. Yeah. Here you go. She's quoting me back to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now she's straight up, yeah.
And I'm just thinking, not using the word hate, but trying to figure out clever ways of explaining how much you disapprove of the content.
Yeah. Get Shakespearean. On it.
Yes.
Okay, so Angus, what kind of food was this?
Oh, I don't know.
And a score out of 14.3.
I didn't even particularly like it. I don't know. I'm going to say like roast chicken because I can't stand a bachelor's handbag.
This was a bachelor's handbag?
Yeah, with nothing. It's cold chicken from the fridge with eaten on its own. As you're sitting depressed on the kitchen floor.
Oh,
Are you okay?
Oh, we might need a
Kimber the White Lion's not okay.
You can at least have some like slices of cucumber or something.
It was this really.
Excuse me while we have some technical difficulties and mental health issues.
It was just really dry.
I don't find a bachelor handbag dry, but I guess we're buying stuff from different places.
The only thing worthwhile is found on the exterior. Visually, it looks nice, but that's just the skin, and when you're past the skin, that's it.
Yes, Mackenzie!
What a suggestion for the food.
Oh, okay, yeah,
go. Lion meat.
Any better.
Yeah.
I was
They're in
more.
Danger.
Yeah.
I didn't think you could get any worse. You managed it.
I was going to say those few leaves on the trees that the elephants keep hoarding and not letting the other animals eat, you know, but
I was also just thinking, like, why can't they eat the grass that you can see everywhere?
Yeah. There were some shots without it, but then there were so many shots, presumably from other episodes of Kimber being rolling through the dirt.
It made the point.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was Cult TV Club, and thanks for listening. We'll get back to you in a month's time with something else.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Yep. Yeah. Until next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.